Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. Boy, we so hope that you were with us last week. We have just had such exciting communication about consecration and Joshua 3. And the one thing, Tara, as we were talking last week, I'm sorry, I forgot to introduce everybody.
I'm so excited.
We don't think we're all here. All the girls and my little Emily is here too. Can you say hello?
Hi.
Thanks, Emily.
Emily, how old are you?
You're 8 years
old, and where do you go to school?
Hodge Elementary.
You do? And where do you go to church?
Lightgate.
And if you had somebody that you wanted to say hi to, who would you say hi to on the radio?
I don't know.
You don't know? You can't do it to Mom, because Mom's over there, right? Why don't
How
you say hi
grandma?
To Dad? Dad or Grandma, your brother?
Hi, Daddy.
Aw. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so Tara, my question as we were talking, we never got to my question last week because
we just
were in massive discussion, awesome discussion. When we were in Joshua 3, we were talking about how the leaders told the people to follow the ark, and then they told them to keep a proper distance. What was the point of the distance?
It represented God's holiness.
Ooh.
Okay, the Ark of the Covenant is the throne of God, okay? And if you remember when Moses would go up the mountain, God would say there's a perimeter, do not allow the people to come up the mountain. It was really a form of protection upon them so that if they had done anything that was desecrated or whatever, you know, or something unholy within themselves, it didn't strike them. You know, I mean, because God's presence is powerful. And so it's a form of protection upon them.
Say.
And later in Scripture, when David takes the Ark of the Covenant into the city improperly, Uriah dies.
Mm-hmm.
Because as it goes, when it almost falls off, he reaches up for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
He reaches up to catch it so that it does not fall and hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
He dies instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And his death is because they were against the will of God. God's command says that it can only be carried by a Levitical priest,
mm-hmm.
and then their hands do not touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Built on either side of it, there are rings, and in these rings, they have poles, and the poles are slid through those rings without ever touching it, and they hold the poles
mm-hmm.
that touch the rings. They are keeping a safe distance so that nothing can desecrate the holiness of God's throne. But it's also a protection upon them.
Awesome.
The lesson for us is there's serious responsibility to keep the sacred sacred.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, God forgive us. Oh God, please forgive us. As a whole, I don't think we respect sacred things anymore the way we should. And one simple example that I had happened to me was when I was in, I think it was in Brazil, and then when I was in Russia. And both of those nations, to sit your Bible on the ground was desecration.
Wow.
And in the places that I was at in Russia, to write in your Bible was a desecration. And so we had to have unmarked Bibles, and we were told to never, ever sit it in a lower position than us.
Mm.
So you keep it on a table or in your arms.
Oh.
It's okay if it was in a bag, but not in a bag on the floor. It is holy, and therefore you keep it protected as holy. The other aspect, this is from my childhood. I can remember we had the big, large family. Anybody have those big, large family Bibles? They're about 4 inches. Do you remember those?
My aunt did.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And it was sitting on the coffee table. I wish we read
it.
Table.
Yeah.
It was display only. But I sat something on it one day. And like lightning, my dad, what are you doing? You don't ever sit anything on the Word of God. It is holy, it is sacred, and it is not to be have any. I mean, I can just remember my dad just like, and I'm thinking, I had no idea. Because at that point, I did not yet know the Lord. I was clueless. But that gave me a tremendous wow, that book is special kind of response. And so we have got to learn to practice respecting that which is holy. And really, honestly, and truly, that's all it was. And, you know, big answer for a simple solution, but it's to respect that which is holy.
Really having a fear of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A reverent fear.
It's a reverent fear, not a phobia fear.
Right. Yeah. Reverent fear of God and his instructions.
Right. Yes, his word. His word. And so just what are some things you think we need to be keeping holy?
Marriage.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Set apart, consecrated to be the mystery that reveals Christ and his bride.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good, Tanya.
So marriage between one man and one woman.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. Marriage. What else? What are some things that we need to keep? I just read this morning in my daily reading, the Sabbath.
Mm. Oh, yes. I was thinking about that the other day. I was listening to Genesis. As I was going, I found a great thing to listen to on my bike ride. And I was listening to it, and I just being out in nature and everything, I'm like, this is so awesome. But then I was thinking, when they brought up the Sabbath, I'm like, oh, we just really don't have a Sabbath. No matter what.
They're exhausting.
Yeah.
Sundays are exhausting. So, I mean, especially if you're in leadership. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Emily was just nodding her head. Are you exhausted on Sundays with the go, go, go?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. God, what have we done? Forgive us for what we've done. And that somehow we have changed what he intended to be a Sabbath rest. And I'll tell you, this morning I was practically weeping when I was reading it and thinking, God, I have so sinned in this area. Mm-hmm. So sinned. And that is as a leader, you know, and trying to do the movement and go, go, go. We
go, go, go too much.
Yeah. You know what I think is awesome, though? There are a few stores that are absolutely not open on Sunday.
That's right. Hobby Lobby is one of them.
That's right. I love it.
Chick-fil-A.
I mean, if everybody just shut the doors on Sunday.
People would have time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
anything
they still
else?
Choices,
what else can you think that we should keep sacred?
Our prayer time.
Yeah. I think that's extremely important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting to us, ourselves.
Guarding our heart, our eyes. So that means that the other night our family sat down and we were all excited because there was a movie we were going to turn on, and with first 5 minutes, and we were just like, it's off. I don't care that we rented it for 99 cents. It's not playing. That is trash. Right. It's not worthy of our ears, our eyes. And we just don't need to go there.
And that kind of comes right to that, how consecration affects us.
Yeah.
And also those around us.
There you go. Do
good
you see how
leading.
God works out?
I love it.
Mm-hmm. And so does consecration affect us?
Absolutely. Oh.
All right. How does it affect you? What has making sure that you read your Bible, pray, guarding your heart and mind, protecting the Sabbath, guarding your marriage, what has that done to you? How's it helped?
There's so much.
I know. I'm not sure where to start.
I'd like to give a testimony of a friend. Do you have something, Sandy?
No, go ahead.
I have a friend that, in the situation she's in, her husband is not guarding his marriage. And she's doing everything she can to guard it, to hold to consecrating the vow that she made. And the circumstances go from worse to worse. Mm-hmm. And Sunday when we were talking, she was talking to me, and I looked in her face, and I saw perfect peace. Mm. I mean, it was perfect peace. And she just looked at me, and she goes, you know, I have no control over this. And she goes, but I'm at peace. Mm. I'm at peace. And I thought, man, is that a reward for consecrating yourself? And, I mean, it was the most beautiful testimony of watching her walk, what she's walking through, that I can't stop thinking about it. Hmm. It's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so she has the peace, but then I have been impacted because of her testimony. Mm-hmm. And what I found myself praying is, Lord, thank you, but Lord, I want that too, that I be the kind of person that so draws near to you that I can have peace regardless of what's coming at me. And so that's one of them. It's the perfect peace that he gives.
And we know it only comes from him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's, you know, in regard to that, Tara, I mean, anytime like you hear about, you know, people forgiving their children's murderers or, I mean, you know, anything like that, it's just, it has to be God because, yeah. I mean, how can you conceivably even get there without him?
Forgiveness only comes from God.
Yeah.
You know, you may say you forgive, but boy, if you don't feel like you've forgiven, it's not there. But
yeah.
God helps you forgive people.
And, you know, and that's part of consecrating ourselves. Absolutely. It's being willing to say, you know what, God, I am so stinking angry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, it's an emotion. That's okay.
Yeah. Telling God, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm dealing with. Being honest with God. Right. That's part of the consecration process is being where we're real with what we're feeling, what we're dealing with, and allowing God to work in us to become what we need to become in those circumstances. It's just amazing.
I mean, why we don't talk to him, I don't know, because, you know, who knows? I mean, that's so silly of us to think.
Or just to, and I mean, you know, maybe we talk, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
But talking, but like listening.
Yes.
And just finding the peace that, you know, maybe... I think sometimes we do talk, but it's like we don't like his answer.
Uh-huh. We don't like to wait for
his answer.
We don't like to, like,
I have that sin. Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
And that's, I think, you know, sometimes we get lost in our prayers when they're not, you know, answered in the way that we expect them.
Well, I'm trying to sell my house, and the patience thing is, I've got to pray a lot for that one because I'm not patiently waiting. I'm leaving tomorrow. So
maybe
now
that's
my poor daughter has the burden of the, you know, waiting.
Yeah.
You know, so.
You're so funny.
Okay. I love you, Kim.
Okay. I think, though, the huge thing is to go before God with the open heart.
Yes.
Like, I love
especially
that.
When, you know, we're doing our reading or going through a time and having to sit there and get something from God and asking him and having an open heart and open mind of, you know, what is it? Teach me, Holy Spirit, that whatever you want to reveal in me, because I think when we go into our word, that's how I think I've learned over the years that, okay, do your work in me first before I can be used anywhere else for you, right? Including starting right at home. You know?
And, you know, the awesome thing is about that, Tanya, is that in the realness of my prayers and in my journal, it's really funny. I can be so raw and open. And Greg being the one that I may be the most raw about, you know, Greg knows this, so I'm not saying anything that he wouldn't know. And then he will come home in something that I will have prayed about and, like, confessed and worked out with God. All of a sudden, then it happens. Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Did he read my journal? Which I know he didn't because I wrote it while he was at work. It astounds me how God...
It's
when,
one of those
when
amazing,
willing,
you know,
yes, always he amazes me,
amazes me.
Yes, God is faithful. I want us to go on this and take this and read what happens here in verses 5-8. And Sandy's going to read that verse for us. And we have, about 5.5 minutes left. And so I'm excited to get to this part. So go ahead and read that for us.
Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass it on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river."
I love it. Okay, so we have covered the consecrating ourselves because the amazing thing. And then Joshua speaks to the priests, and he tells them, take the Ark of the Covenant and go ahead of the people. All right, this, I really want us to understand this. Spiritual parents, those that are the leaders, whether it's pastors, teachers, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, neighbors, whatever it is, they have to be the first to go. They're the ones that have to take up the presence of God and be the one that moves forward. This is a call to get up, a call to the priest, the leader, to get up and go before the people. And the thing is he's calling them to go to a place that we hear later on in Scripture that is floodwaters. It is a place that is extremely dangerous when it is in flood. Mm-hmm. And we flooded in 1998. I don't know if you have ever seen floodwaters, but floodwaters are not safe.
No.
That when they came through our neighborhood when we had floods in Houston, when we flooded, the water was so powerful that when it hit our neighborhood, it was a water wall that came through, and the 9-foot cedar fences were flat in a second.
Wow.
In a second. I mean, it was that powerful.
Yeah.
That vehicles just floated as if they were boats. And water at flood stage is dangerous. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he tells them, take up the ark. Well, we know that the ark represents the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling them, leaders, get in the presence of God.
Mm.
You cannot do this apart from him. Get up and go before the people to the places that are scary, that are dirty, mm-hmm. that are dangerous, that are hard, that are broken. And get in the water
mm-hmm.
and become the one that I use as the vessel to part it. So that they can cross on dry land.
Mm.
But that requires that those of us that are the leaders to not go into self. We have to be where we are consecrated. We have to be where we have our walk taken care of
mm-hmm.
so that we can go before the people. We cannot waste time in self-centeredness,
mm-hmm.
in pride, in envy,
mm-hmm.
in jealousy, and any form of strife that we want to allow to come into our lives, we have to deal with it
mm-hmm.
honestly with God so that we can go before the people. That is what, I mean, I'm like, that one, I was like, God, this right here, we could sit forever on
mm-hmm.
this one verse of what God wants mm-hmm. to do with us as spiritual leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm blown away.
Preach it.
You're like, oh my goodness. I know.
Because it's conviction, Tanya.
Yes.
That's
I know.
It. It's, he's calling me out and saying,
yep.
enough already.
Right.
Enough already. I am calling you out to be consecrated and holy. Don't waste time
Absolutely.
With the things of this earth because I want to use you.
And don't we all want to be used?
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
I mean, we do.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, he wants you to come back next week because this isn't done. We got to deal with this. So we hope to hear from you. Please contact us at cultivatinghearts.org, terrarye.com, or opendoormission.org. And for those of you that are listening internationally, way to go at WINB. God bless.